Snow just has some of you cringing in your seat. I mean, we dared to mention on radio the protocols of the wise men of Zion and a whole bunch of other things. And we have dared in the face of American academia to condemn Karl Marx. My God, what is going to happen in this world when they have people on radio talking about these things?
We'd all be better off. We'd all be better. You know, anybody that just reads. I mean, all of the information's out there. Human Development 94, published by the Lucius Trust, which used to be Lucifer Trust. Their official publishing arm of the UN.
The United Nations. So Human Development, their office is in the United Nations.
Human Development 94, a book that's published by the UN, says right in there, our cultural heroes, our icons, not Thomas Jefferson, folks, not George Washington, Karl Marx and Adam Smith.
Yeah.
You know, that ought to tell anyone, any thinking American, what the UN is about. That it ought to be a clue when they attack countries like Katanga that want to set up a republic based on the United States Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and elevate a gentleman. Well, let's not use that word. To elevate a man to the position of the leader of a country, South Africa, the man, Nelson Mandela, who Bill Clinton invited into the White House, and they talked about the long period of time that he spent in a jail cell. But what Bill Clinton didn't say on CNN, in front of the cameras, was what Nelson Mandela had been thrown in that jail cell for. It was throwing a hand grenade in a bus full of school children.
That's right. And they didn't tell you that he was a devout communist.
But he.
And they didn't tell you that he was uneducated and spent all those years in jail without any access to any educational materials. But yet this man, and it has nothing to do with him being black, ladies and gentlemen. The man is put in the number one position in leadership of this country. Now you know, if you know anything at all, that he is not the real leader. Somebody else is behind him, telling him what to say and do.
Possibly the owners of the diamond mines, maybe?
Could be.
Maybe some of the owners of the gold mines?
Could be. It's the same as taking any prisoner who was a communist as a young man, threw a hand grenade into a bus full of school children, got arrested, convicted, thrown in jail, and spent the rest of his life in jail, take him out of jail, and all of a sudden make him the President of the United States of America. That's ludicrous.
Well,
absolutely the most stupid, ludicrous thing I've ever heard of in my life, but that's exactly what they did in South Africa, and every left-wing socialist in the world applauded this move and thinks it's the most wonderful thing that ever could have happened on the face of the earth. And they've actually deluded themselves that this man is really leading South Africa.
Well, you can't blame the people of South Africa that much, because look at the people of America that have put a communist
in the White House.
In the White House.
Yes.
And I said that.
No, yeah. No, yeah, but a horny communist in the White House. A man who cannot control the actions of his zipper. Up, down, up, down, up, down, up,
I follow.
Close the door. Open the door. Close
I
the
follow
door.
Bill Clinton.
Let her in. Let her out. Let her in.
I followed Bill Clinton's career. I published the article where he had gone to London to head up the anti-war movement. We tracked him in his involvement, in Hillary's involvement with the IPS, which is the FBI, Institute on Policy Studies, which the FBI files, 2,000 some odd pages, at least there was 2,700. 700 mm-hmm. couldn't be released for national security reasons.
They
but
have,
2,000 of them
yeah.
said the Institute on Policy Studies was a violent communist front
for financing and directing terrorist operations all around the world.
That's right. And so now we have the terrorist in the White House, And by the way, I had a gentleman that does reverse speech. I have a lot of different guests, and he played.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're getting into Art Bell territory.
Art Bell territory.
We're
going to
talk about something that has no scientific validity whatsoever, but it is extremely interesting.
That's right. He recorded Bill Clinton's statements about the Sudan, why he bombed Sudan, why he bombed Afghanistan. When those tapes were played backwards, Bill Clinton said, "I'm a snake oil terrorist." and I duplicated this. I recorded this on my computer. The computer can reverse it, and you can hear it plain as day. I am a snake oil terrorist.
Wow.
And I think, you know, I think that absolutely describes it.
All I can tell you, folks, is I don't know if this is true or not. If you get that speech and you record his voice on your computer, and if you have the right program, I can tell you, because I do, you can play somebody's speech backwards.
That's right. Most of Windows 95.
And so they'll hear this same thing.
That's right.
That's incredible. That's absolutely incredible. The most incredible thing I think I've ever heard, as a matter of fact.
I can't wait to see what he's done with the latest speeches, with the grand jury tapes.
Oh boy. Well, I got to tell you, I watched that videotape, and it wasn't anything like we were prepared to see. He didn't get angry, and he didn't jump up, and he didn't stomp out. Everybody was polite, including him, and including the questioners, And you could see him squirm, and you could see a few times on his face what I interpret as catching my daughter with her hand in the cookie jar and her telling me she wasn't in the cookie jar, which all children will do.
Then you have to understand.
And according to all the other testimony that was given to the grand jury, he lied, if you believe the other people.
Well,
and I have to.
He absolutely lied. I mean, anybody that would have to go to that many convolutions has to be lying. I mean, you can't just say yes, no. I mean,
well, you can. There
lying.
Are some questions, and believe me, I know how to do this. Remember, I was with the Office of Naval Intelligence. I know how to interrogate people and get the answers I want, whether they're true or false. And this old answer yes or no can trap you and put you behind bars really quick when you're forced to say no, when the answer really isn't no. But that's what you have to say if you can only answer yes or no.
Well,
so you can't go on that.
Okay.
I'm telling you.
I'll agree with that. But the fact is, Bill Clinton did it. You know,
yes, he did it.
We're splitting hairs.
He's admitted that he did it.
We're splitting hairs here. You know, I'd have more respect for him if he just go, "I did it, so what?" You know, but...
Well, none of this would have happened if he'd have done
it. It's my opinion that this whole thing, this whole Kenneth Starr thing, is simply a smokescreen. It's a charade. It's something that is being acted out here with two actors for the benefit of the American people. The real need of this would not be the
Well, if you really read the Protocols of the Wise Men of Zion, it's right there.
It's right there.
It's all there. It's right there. It even says this is going to happen. And it says what's going to be a result of it happening.
The video, the release of the video.
And everybody says, well, it's a forgery, doesn't mean anything, blah, 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 blah. Well, read it, folks. Read it. Stop listening to what everybody tells you and read it.
And
forget about who everybody says wrote it. That doesn't make any difference. Whoever wrote it
is dead now.
Is dead now.
It's been dead a long time ago.
That's right.
What matters is that the exact plan that it calls for is being enacted here. It doesn't matter whether the Masons wrote it and the Jews took it over, or the Jews wrote it and the Masons took it over. It's happening right now.
Nor does it matter that George Bush is neither a Jew or a Mason, and he's a big part of it. You know,
yes, he is. Yes, he is. Much higher than Clinton and more power than Clinton.
But he is a member of the Russell Trust, Skull and Bones, Knights of Malta, and a whole bunch of other things.
Right. The real meat of the matter with Bill Clinton is not the videotape testimony. It's what he said the next day to the Council on Foreign Relations.
Yes.
It's what he said at the UN. It was the reception he had by the socialists that make up the UN, the yeah. unelected yeah. socialists that make up the UN.
And it's the red rosebuds that he gave to yeah. all of the families and survivors of the bombing in Oklahoma
you know,
City.
I wouldn't have anything against a United Nations.
That well, upheld, nobody would. If it
upheld the right of self-determination by countries and individuals,
mm-hmm.
that held up that if it held up the Bill of Rights.
And would protect the individual creator-endowed rights of every
right.
person in this world.
Then I would be right there. I would be urging everyone to take part.
So would I. I've said it over and over again on this broadcast.
Not only that, let's elect the people that we want to represent us up there at the UN.
I would go for that also if they would bring back the old process of appointing senators by the state legislatures of all the states or countries that are involved, so that there is a protection for the sovereignty of the individual states and countries.
You know, that's where we're really at here in America. I mean, everything else is a smokescreen. We are at the point where we have to choose whether we want our sovereignty as a country.
Or you want to be a slave.
Or do you want to be a slave to the... let's not use the old passé terms. New World Order, that's passé.
Mm-hmm.
That's not politically correct. Let's use the politically correct term, global economy.
Global economy.
That is the new buzzword. That mm-hmm. is Clinton's words.
We're gonna fix this worldwide economic collapse by creating a new world economic order.
That's right. Global economy. It's
so there won't be
Alan Greenspan.
There's going to be a World Federal Reserve Board.
That's right. It's already being
formed. That's what's happening, folks.
What happens when you merge all of the big companies? What happens when you merge all of these huge companies? The telecommunications companies, the insurance companies, the banks, the currencies, the euro. You create the euro. One more step. You have to do this so these countries don't fall to the wayside. You have to do this.
Yeah.
You have to do this if you want...
You know, we're
global economy.
We're at the point in the broadcast where we have to do some commercial stuff here. And then after that, we're going to open the phones and let people talk to you if they want, or talk to me if they want, or talk to Doyle if they want. Where's all the goodies? Where are they?
Oh, goodies. Give me those goodies. Goodies. All these goodies. There are. I got goodies.
Okay, we got to take 101.1 off the air for about 20 to 30 minutes. And then for those of you listening in the Round Valley, keep checking back. And we will be back on the air as soon as we finish with our commercials. The reason for this, for those of all of you out there who don't know anything about 101.1 FM Eager, it is a nonprofit community service radio station upon which we never, ever air commercials for any reason, for anybody, at any time whatsoever. Is it off?
Yep, it's down.
Okie doke. 101 is now off the air. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, got some stuff here that's really neat. I think you're really going to like it. I got to tell you something. It was tough to get these things in by UPS today and get them in here to offer them to you, because my family wanted to keep them. This is stuff. And me too. I mean, you know, we thought we were going to get a whole bunch of some of these, and we couldn't, because they're just not available. They are just not available. We're lucky to get what we got. And I think you're going to love it. Let me sort of lay them out here. I hope I didn't break it. It's not that fragile, but anyway, if you know what I mean, I hope I didn't break it. You want to put it back in here, if you can find it?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm trying to just lay these out so that I can look at them and tell you about them. And we have like three each of some of them, and one each of others, and we're not going to get any more. I mean, we're never going to get any more of these, ladies and gentlemen, so if you want one, you better get it right now. These are sort of collector's items. In fact, they are collector's items. They're not available everywhere. We've got the very last of the only source that I know of. The very last ones. And remember I told you we were going to get three Flash Gordon knives? We got one. That's it. We got one. And I wanted to have one, because all my life I've wanted a Flash, genuine Flash Gordon knife. This is Flash Gordon and the Invasion of Mungo, and it shows Flash Gordon with his rocket ship sailing through the heavens in the background, and he's talking over his telecommunicator, and it's just all of these are great. Everybody fell in, and we only have one Zorro knife. It is just beautiful. What do you think of that?
That's gorgeous.
Wouldn't you just love to have this? I mean, these are fantastic.
Don't when you
I
give was, these to your guests?
Pardon?
Don't you give these to your
When I was a boy, ladies and gentlemen, I would have done anything to get one of these knives. I mean, literally, just about anything that you can imagine, I probably would have done to get one of these knives. Now, let me tell you what we got. We got four Tom Corbett Space Cadet knives. These are the real thing, and they're beautiful. Describe that. I mean, Clayton didn't know he was going to come here and describe what's on the knife. Describe that.
Well, this is a four-color knife with a four-color picture of Tom Corbett. I think I remember Tom Corbett.
Yeah.
The rocket ship down below, the planet down below. It looks like Jupiter, I would say, with one of the moons in the background. And, of course, Tom Corbett is decked out in the finest 30s spacesuit. It even looks like he's been using Brill Cream.
Absolutely. This looks exactly like it came out of, and it did, come out of the old Tom Corbett Space Cadet comic books from back in the 30s and early 40s. It's a beautiful knife, and it is quality, well-made. It's not cheap. It doesn't rattle. You can't budge this blade. It is sharp, and I mean really sharp. Watch out. You'll cut yourself there. It's beautiful.
It is.
And every boy in the world would give his eye teeth for one of these. Guess what? We had one Gail Davis Annie Oakley knife. Remember Gail Davis?
Remember Annie Gail Davis.
We had one Gail Davis Annie Oakley knife. Guess where it is?
Where?
Annie took it and put it in her purse and refused to give it back. Absolutely refused to give it back. And Pooh took a Snuffy Smith knife. Remember Snuffy Smith?
Oh, Snuffy Smith. I remember Snuffy Smith.
Well,
it's the only thing that's worth reading in the newspapers.
There's the Snuffy Smith knife. Here's the Zorro knife. Everybody, I wouldn't let them have the Zorro. Everybody wanted Zorro. Everybody wanted the cowboy knives and the space knives. I would not let them have Zorro. There's only one.
Tom Mix.
Tom Mix is there.
Yes.
And let me see. Buck Jones. Remember Buck Jones? Buck Jones was one of my personal favorites, as a matter of fact. And we have Rocky Lane. Remember Rocky Lane? With his red shirt and white hat. I mean, he looked a little bit like Red Ryder, to tell you the truth, with his blue jeans.
Flash Gordon.
And then we got Flash Gordon. And we've got Honus Wagner. Honus Wagner, the baseball player. Honus Wagner knife. And we have another one here. I don't know where this came from. They just this is one of the ones they just threw into the order because we didn't order this. They threw some into the order that we did not order. And this is, don't blame me, I voted for Bush. That's what it says, folks. It says, don't blame me, I voted for Bush. And then we have another one here. It's Unto Us a Child is Born, December 25th. And it shows Mary on the other side holding the baby Jesus. And they threw this in, too. We didn't order this. It's just you order so many knives, and they throw something else in. And they did it, I believe, because they could not fill all of our order. They only had one Flash Gordon knife. We ordered three.
Now, what are you selling these for, though?
These are $8.95.
$8.95.
You can have the knife of your dreams.
Well,
or you can purchase this for your child, or you can purchase one or two of these for Christmas gifts, which they are wonderful Christmas gifts.
I have some bad news for your listeners.
What's that?
Zorro's gone.
Uh-oh. You heard that, folks.
Yeah, well, first come, first serve, right?
This is a beautiful knife. All of these are beautiful knives. Take a look at that. Zorro.
I did. There's the money.
Okay, you heard it, folks. $8.95. You can have, you know, the I told you how many there are. There's three Snuffy Smith. Zorro's gone. And I mean, he's gone. Pick it up and put it in his pocket. Buck Jones. We have one Buck Jones, one Tom Mix, one Flash Gordon, and one Rocky Lane, three Tom Corbett Space Cadets, one Sheena, one Sheena and I.
I didn't see that, man. I might have taken that. I might have crazy over that.
One, and it shows her straddling a...
Is that Bill? No, that's not.
I don't know if I can describe that on the air. Shows her in almost nothing, you know, Sheena of the jungle. Shows her straddling a male lion.
She's got more on than Tarzan does.
Yeah, she's got more on than the lion does. I mean, the lion's got more on than she does. And she has a rope around this lion's neck. Anyway, that's the Sheena knife. And that's about what you saw in the movie when you saw her. Actually, we have four Tom Corbett knives. Tom Corbett Space Cadet, four knives. One Honus Wagner, one Christmas knife, and one Don't Blame Me, I Voted for Bush knife.
That may come around again, you know.
It just might do that.
He will have a choice in
the younger Bush. A younger Bush. Now, let me tell you something else we've got that's really neat. We have these little knives that don't have anything on them, but they're great knives. Well made. They're really sharp. They hold an edge really good, and they have a bottle opener. And any time that you ever place an order with us for anything, I don't care what it is, if you'll just throw an extra $1.50 in there, we'll send you one of these knives. They are outstanding. In fact, I'm going to put my old timer that cost me $46 in my drawer, and one of these knives is going in my pocket because I really like it. It works really well. If I break it, it doesn't cost me $46, and it is strong. I'm bending it. I'm putting a lot of pressure on the blade. It is not breaking or bending. It is not loose. It is solid, well made. It is sharp. It holds a good blade. It has a bottle opener, and this is the kind of knife that you want to carry around every day in your pocket and really, really use a lot. Sorry, I didn't mean to stab you in the arm.
I heal quick.
And so anytime you order anything from us, if you'd like to have one of these, we call them workman's knives. It's a workman's knife is what it is. If you want one of those, just include $1.50 extra in your order. And that includes if you order any of these other knives, and we'll send you one of these. And that's it. You know, all these are postpaid. If you want any of the knives that we talked about first, they're $8.95. Postpaid. If you want one of these workman's knives, just include an extra $1.50 and tell us that you want it, and we'll, would you put that in there?
$1.50, are you sure, Bill?
Yeah, $1.50.
All right.
And you can have one of those. We'll send it off to you. We bought a lot of those, and so they gave us a really good deal. They're great knives. Now, folks, let me tell you something. None of these are cheap. These are not cheap knives. They are inexpensive, fantastic, well-made, good knives that you can really use a lot, and they will make you very happy. And if you buy one of these for a young person, a young boy or a young girl who's into pocket knives, and all young people are, Pooh was just ecstatic when she got her Snuffy Smith knife. She was so happy. And Annie didn't ask. She just looked through them and picked up Annie Oakley, and that went into her purse, and that's the last we saw of that, and we're never going to get another one, so forget it. And we'll talk about these another night.
Okay.
So we'll talk about that another night. But that's enough. So tomorrow, if you really want one of these knives, if you know exactly which knife you want, call us on the telephone between 1 p.m. and 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, which is the same as Pacific Daylight Time, which is 2 hours earlier than Central Time and 3 hours earlier than Eastern Time. Between 1 and 5 p.m., tell us which knife you want, give us your name, address, and phone number, and we will save it for you for 5 days. After 5 days, I'm going to come back on the radio and say, we didn't receive the money to pay for this knife. If anybody else wants it, here it is. Okay? That's the way we're going to do it. And I think that's fair. Whoever calls first gets the knife that they want, or knives that they want. Somebody might want all of them. I don't know. But they're $8.95 each. Remember, if you want a workman's knife, and these are great knives, I'm going to carry one in my pocket from now on so that I don't have to carry around my expensive $46 knife that I usually carry. I'll put that in my drawer and keep it and carry this workman's knife because it's a good knife. It's an excellent knife. And there's nothing that I normally use a knife for that I can't use this workman's knife for. So I'm personally going to be carrying one of those. And if you want this Flash Gordon knife, if nobody calls and claims this Flash Gordon knife tomorrow, it's going in my pocket. I'm going to tell you that right now. I've always won one all my life. If nobody calls and claims it tomorrow afternoon between 1 and 5 p.m., it's going in my pocket. So there you have it. And there's all the knives. And these are great. And I was so glad when we were able to get them. I was extremely disappointed that we were not able to get all of the ones that we wanted. There just isn't anymore. They don't exist. And we're never going to get any more. So that's that. Okay, let's put 101 back on the air. First, let me give you the phone number to call tomorrow between 1 and 5 if you want one of these knives. The number is 520-333-4578. That's 520-333-4578. Now, don't just send your money in. You got to reserve these because I told you how many there are, and that's it. We're not ever going to have any more. Not in a million years. $8.95, you can have the knife you want, but you've got to call us first. And if somebody else already claimed it, we'll tell you what's left. If you want to change it to another one, then we can do that. Okay? Now, if you want to order any of the other products that you've already heard us advertise on the air here, and they're all still available, every single one of them, you send your money to the Hour of the Time. That's the Hour of the Time. In care of 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940. That's P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona 85925. That's the Hour of the Time in care of 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona 85925. Once again, the phone number to call if you want to claim a knife tomorrow between 1 and 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time is 520-333-4578. Across America and around the world, you're listening to WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, USA. And what you heard in the background is my horse. I'm fixing to take my Flash Gordon knife and go for a ride. Okay. Doyle, I need a little break here. Do you want to come up and take over the microphone?
We have to cover about the addresses, money orders, or not.
Addresses, money orders. We just did the address.
And how we received some of the envelopes, we can clarify with the audience.
Oh,
exactly how we're doing.
Yeah, we got somebody who wanted information. Unfortunately, he sent us a stamped envelope with no address, no return address on it, and on the envelope he sent it in, there was no address, and on the letter, there was no address. So if you want information, folks, and you got to give us where to send it. It's self, S-A-S-E means self-addressed, stamped, envelope, and you should put 75 cents postage on it. Also, we do not take checks under any circumstances. Somebody sent us a check just a couple of days ago. I did exactly what I said I was going to do. I tore it into little bitty pieces and threw it in the trash can. If you send us a check, you will not get the check sent back. We're not going to write you a letter and say you should have sent a blank money order, cash, or gold or silver coin. We're just simply going to tear it up so nobody can ever cash it, and we're going to throw it in the trash can. We're not going to waste 32-cent stamp on somebody who couldn't hear us say this over the radio. Okay? So that's that. Blank money orders, cash, gold or silver coins only, and call so that we can reach a mutual agreement on the value of the gold or the silver coins. And we are very liberal in that regard because we know what's coming and we know what the value of gold and silver is going to be. So we will give you a break, believe me. Okay, Doyle, I'm going to take a break.
Yeah.
Here you go. Don't forget to turn over, no. Yeah, turn over the tape in about, how many minutes? I don't know.
13
about 12 minutes, okay? And open the phones. The number is 520-333-4578. And our guest for this evening, Clayton Douglas, is here. He's going to tell you how to subscribe to his magazine if you'd like to, and how much it costs and where to write and all that kind of stuff. And then you can ask him whatever you want to ask him. And I'll be around here somewhere. I'm just going to go get a drink of water and take care of, you know, the normal biological urges, and I will be back. So if you want to ask me questions or talk to me or Doyle, we will both be here. Okay, 101.1 FM is now back on the air. For those of you listening in the Round Valley of Arizona, and you've just tuned back in to see if we're back on the air, we are. Okay, I'm off. Here you go, Doyle.
All right.
Oh, thank you. No dead air time. Start talking.
All right.
Talk.
Okay. Let me see. All right. Like we said, the phones are open, 520-333-4578. If you'd like to call in, talk to Clayton, ask some questions or anything, ask questions of myself.
And I guess I should tell people how you can get a subscription to the Free American,
mm-hmm.
huh? Well, folks, you can simply send a... We do take checks or money orders or gold or silver or cash at the Free American News Magazine, 2943 U.S. Highway 380, Bingham, B-I-N-G-H-A-M, New Mexico, 87832. Our phone numbers over there are 505-423-3250. If you want more information, you can also check us out on the web at www.freeamerican.com. $30 for 12 monthly issues, and it's $50 for 2 years or two subs if you'd like to send one to a friend.
All right, good deal. It said the phone lines are open, 520-333-4578. That's the call-in line. If you want to call in, ask any questions, feel free to do so. And we'll try to answer them for you.
We'll try. It's a little late for me, folks. I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to do my show in the mornings on Republic Radio. But you can, we'll answer your questions if you've got any.
Yeah.
And we'll be glad to take your calls.
How has the show been going? Doing? I remember I talked to you when you were just going on to.
Oh well, we're doing pretty well. We're also on audiocasting.com mm-hmm. in the mornings.
Mm-hmm.
It's 6 o'clock in if you're in California on Pacific time. 9 o'clock if you're on the West Coast. You can also tune us in on WWCR 12.160
mm-hmm.
that early in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember speaking to you, I think it was just the week prior of going on. You were having to leave another network, which we were both familiar about back in California.
Yes.
Yeah, and going on to this new one. I just was wondering, I haven't spoken to you since, how it was working out.
Well, we've tried a few different networks. Matter of fact, I think we were just offered a spot on this one also, but...
Mm-hmm.
We're pretty happy right now where we're at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're building up more of a listenership, especially with Bo Grice giving me such great advertising.
And it can't be free advertising. Yeah, no. One thing about it, too, we've been very happy with this station here, WDCQ, and Alan Wiener. He's been an excellent station manager. He's worked with us quite well. It's got a beautiful signal.
I've heard good things about it.
Yeah, beautiful signal.
So it's a pleasure to be on here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's been a pleasure to work with.
Let me see.
Yeah.
Check it. It works.
All right, cool.
Just nobody calling.
All right. All right. Let me say again, the phone lines are open, 520-333-4578. That's the call-in line. If you want to call in, ask questions of myself or Clayton, feel free to.
Like I said, okay. I'm not this. I'm a morning person,
mm-hmm.
Bill. I get up 5 o'clock in the morning, whether I need to or not.
Okay, we get a call.
Great,
you're on the air.
Hi. Hi. Been listening for the first hour and a little bit from Clayton.
Mm-hmm.
I must say, listening to shortwave for the first time.
Congratulations.
Good, good.
Well, welcome to the information age.
I have to tell you, it just shows you how, and again, I'm going to check you guys out too, but it certainly is refreshing to hear another point of view. It reminded me of a quote, by the way, as I hear you talking. I just want to read it real quick. It's from a fellow named Chesterton. He said, talking about today's rulers who, I remember you were talking about Mandela, who is really the force behind him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you might appreciate this quote. He said, the modern tyrant is evil because of his elusiveness. He is more nameless than his slave. He is not more of a bully than the tyrants of the past, but he is more of a coward. And I like that because we really know that who sometimes the rulers are.
Well,
the masks of the politicians.
You're absolutely right about that. Bill Clinton... If Bill Clinton resigned tomorrow, nothing would change. If we shifted over and got a Republican president, nothing would change.
Well, that's what I thought was great about what you said in the beginning, and not to take away from your conversation with Clayton. I'm sure Clayton might have heard you in the beginning. But if I understand you, you said there wasn't much of a difference between a Republican or a Democrat.
None at all.
Yeah.
It goes, I don't know if you remember Huey Long, probably do.
No, not a dime's worth of difference.
But Huey, I think he also said, the only difference between a Republican and a Democrat is one skins you from the neck down and the other from the ankle drop.
I haven't heard that. That's good.
That is good.
Well, you know, I think we have a choice in America right now. We have a choice between the fascist Republicans, and the socialist Democrats. And there's not a dime's worth of difference between a socialist and a fascist. Our whole scale is skewed. It's not left and right.
No.
It's you've got communism, you've got fascism on, say, the right. On the left, you have anarchy. In the middle, you have a constitutional republic, which is where we should be.
Can you speak about... This is something I heard. I heard that our forefathers did not create a political system that was made up of parties, and that if they saw the system we had today, this party system, that it would disturb them quite a bit, because a party system, I understand, creates a situation like this.
Yeah. In fact, I think they would fight the Revolutionary War all over again.
Uh-huh.
What is it about the party system that creates this type of a... I guess it doesn't give you much of a choice for one thing, right?
No, it doesn't. But the party system is created to create divisiveness, not cohesiveness. In the beginning days of this country, it was not a candidate who represented a party that ran for office. It was a candidate whom the people respected and looked up to and whom they believed would be a statesman.
How about that?
And then this evolved into a method of control and creating divisiveness in this country by the creation of parties. And the parties evolve. When Clinton talks about being a Jeffersonian Democrat, he's lying through his teeth. Thomas Jefferson would not subscribe to any of the tenets of the modern-day Democratic Party. And it began as the Republican Party. The Republican Party today came out of an entirely different organization.
Something about the UN. There was a book that said the heroes of Western culture was Adam Smith and Marx.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was interesting because when you were talking about unions, I think of that as almost an attack from below, a this attack,
mm-hmm.
of getting the workers all organized. And I think of, not that I'm against capitalism, but this Adam Smith, the way we have these international bankers, for lack of another word, they sort of are attacking from the top.
Well, let me give you a prime example of that. At the turn of the century, Colorado, just over the New Mexico line, the miners were producing great wealth out of the ground. All of that wealth was going into the pockets of the Rockefellers who owned the mines. The miners were working under terrible conditions. The communists came in to rescue the workers. So all of the unions were formed by the communists at the turn of the century.
That's absolutely correct.
You know, if we had been in this at the radio, if we were there now, I probably would have been a communist because I would have been for the people.
Yes.
The problem with communism is that it is a lie. It is not power of the people. If it was power of the people, then I'd be all for it. I would be for. I would be a communist. But it's not power of the people.
Yeah. If it was, they wouldn't have had so many vodka factories in Russia, in the Soviet Union, where they literally degraded into the condition where the people pretended to work and the state pretended to pay them.
Mm-hmm. Well,
we have a very similar condition today with the government bringing the drugs in, giving it to the people, dumbing the people down. They go on welfare, and so the government can pay them again. You know, we've probably got a 20% productive factor in this country of people that are actually working and doing something, and they're taking the wealth from those people, from the middle class.
Very interesting. And another thing I had heard sometime before, I used to hear a lot of black radicals accusing the government of bringing drugs into the ghettos of black communities. And I used to say, oh, that's a lot of BS. But maybe there is something to that.
Absolutely. Those people were absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm. And I used to think, well, that's just racist hogwash. But as I listen, I go, well, maybe there is something to that.
You know, the Black Panther movement started out with the best ideals in the world. It was corrupted by the federal agents that sent in. They corrupted it with drugs. They corrupted the neighborhoods with drugs. You know, that's the one thing that really irritates me about the black people in America today. They are to be standing right here beside us on this microphone, telling people, let's get it together. We're not enemies here. We're all Americans. And yet they buy in to this SPLC simply because they have better money. They have better propaganda to feed them.
Yeah, you know, it just shows me, and again, I'll leave because you guys have more important things to say than what I could add, but it just shows just how sophisticated the people, how sophisticated, I'll say, our groups are. And that as I look at the general population, and I hear you complaining and I complain, but in a way, they're really fighting against a very sophisticated system that, I'm not saying it can't be broken. I'm sure you, the three of you will agree that it is a very sophisticated, well-run machine.
It is a very sophisticated system. It has been, you know, I tell people, don't worry about the New World Order. You can't stop the New World Order from taking over because it took over long before we were born. What we are is resisting the New World Order.
Yeah. Hold everything, guys. We've got to change the tape. We've got to just turn it over.
Thank you.
I want to say congratulations to you fellas.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Glad to hear you got a shortwave.
And good night to you all.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Okay, folks. Seven-eight is the number. We'd like to hear from you. What's on your mind? Give us a call, and we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. 520-333-4578.
Yeah, don't be shy. We really talk like to get your calls. We like to hear from you.
Okay,
there you go.
One.
Looks like we got one.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to take over your show here now, Bill. You know.
No, I like it. I like it when I can sit back and you know.
Who do we have on the line?
Oh, I must have the wrong number. No, well, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's the wrong show. You got Clay Douglas here.
Yeah. I wanted to call in to Bill Cooper. I talked to you at the not the survival show. Which one was that in Las Vegas?
Soldier of Fortune.
Yeah.
Well, Bill's standing right here beside me.
Yeah. And I subscribe to Clay's magazine, and I really like his magazine.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's very fine, and that's enough of that. Bill Cooper, I listened to you before when you were on radio.
Can I get you to put your mouth in front of your telephone and talk a lot louder, please?
Is that better?
That's much better.
Okay. I listened to you when you were on radio on shortwave before.
Uh-huh.
And it was really too bad when they took you off.
They didn't take me off. I left. They lied to me for 4 years, and when I found out that they were lying,
no.
I left WWCR.
And I'll tell you something. Once in a while I would turn on other station. I'm not going to mention it for you, but the guy that's birthing you from 5 to 7 is not as good as you are.
Nobody's as good as Bill Cooper.
I think he's very fine. It's going to take a little time for a lot of people to catch on. Because I just heard this the other night by accident. This station even exists.
It's a great station.
Yeah, it's a good station. But it's just not known right now, so it's got to go out by word of mouth.
Oh, of course. Yeah, y'all can help do that.
Oh, yeah. So, I just want to tell you, I'm really glad you're back on again.
Well, thank you.
I'll let you go.
We appreciate that, and we appreciate you. Thank you for calling. 520-333-4578. I'm going back to the corner.
All right. Okay, you heard the number. Oh, we already got one. Okay. You're on the air. Who are we talking to?
My name is Joe in Texas.
All right. How you doing, Joe?
Fine, thank you.
Good.
I had a question for Mr. Cooper's guest.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to the broadcast earlier and heard him say that he kind of like woke up after Waco, and I was wondering if he would go into more detail on that. I'd like to hear more about what he exactly thought about Waco, Texas.
Well, I probably didn't think much about it while it was going on. I accepted basically the television. I was in the same position as 90% of the Americans out there. I had a good job. I had a good company. I was doing well. The economy was great. I read the Miami Herald in the morning, and I watched the Today Show. And I thought I was knowledgeable. I thought I knew what was going on. I thought I was kept up to date. When I saw the fire in Waco, instinctively, I knew that those people didn't burn their children. They didn't burn themselves. And I knew at that point that that was our Tiananmen Square. That was our government attacking and surrounding a church. And remember, this church was established there in Waco back in the 30s. It had been there that long.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw that, I knew. I knew that something was wrong with our government. And that it was out of control. And then all of the other information that we had almost picked up subconsciously, and the real information that we picked about the government involvement in drug dealing, it all came together for me. And I realized that we were corrupted from the top. We're accused of being anti-government. I'm not anti-government. I'm for the government that we were promised in the Constitution, a Republican form of government. And you want to see a politician turn white? You want to see all the blood rush from his head? Just say, excuse me, sir, you spoke of our great democracy. When did our republic become a democracy?
Yeah, that's the truth. I remember Waco that day. I was very ignorant. But I remember even at the time, as ignorant as I was, how bad I thought that was. Just army tanks alone out there at a church with children around.
A violation of posse comitatus.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they fire on a house? Now, just common sense. They were there
for one thing.
And I'm going to hang up here real quick and let someone more intelligent talk, but I was reading in the Midland Reporter Telegram, I believe the name of it is, the other day, and their sheriff's department has ordered quite a few Army tanks, I think four of them, from the Army Fort in San Antonio.
This is a militarization of your police forces. They've also issued bayonets. What in God's name would a police force need with bayonets?
Yeah, you know, what do they need those for?
Ask your sheriff. If your sheriff's buying this, then you ought to be out campaigning against him at the next election.
I agree.
There's no reason that a civilian police force needs tanks, that needs bayonets, that needs automatic weapons.
M16s, mm-hmm. Ninja Turtle suits, and all of that stuff. Military helicopters, mm-hmm. machine guns.
Yeah, Midland, Texas also got two helicopters. It sure did from the fort in San Antonio. It was all surplus.
See, everybody should be following these police chiefs and sheriffs around. And every time they are in public where a lot of people can hear it, they ought to stand up and say, just exactly why have you purchased four tanks for a civilian sheriff's office here in the great state of Texas or wherever it may happen to be? And why don't you explain that to us while we still have time to listen before you begin to use those tanks? And watch what begins to happen when people begin to ask the right questions in the right places, not once, not twice, but all the time.
It was in the hearings on Waco when you saw one of the BATF agents. I don't remember which one. He said, today's of a uniform, a plainclothes officer coming up and knocking on the door to serve a warrant are over. That should have been the wake-up call. That should have been the slap in the face of every American. It just is not going to go down that way.
Thank you for taking my call, gentlemen. I want to go back and listen to you all some more on the radio.
Very good, sir.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I want you to know that despite your own assessment of yourself, you sound pretty damn intelligent to me.
Yep.
God, Mr. Cooper, that's the biggest compliment I've had in weeks. Thank you, sir. Bye.
You're
welcome.
Good
night. Thank you. 520-333-4578 is the call in line. It's open right now. Clayton.
I'm here. Hey. I'm here, folks.
Oh,
we'll take
I was
going to
say something, but we got another call. You're on the air.
Oh, hey. It's good to get Cooper on the air again. I think my radio might be too loud.
Yeah, it is.
Thank you. That's all right. Just turn it down a little bit and come on back to us. Got to keep your phone closer to the radio and the radio
it's
down.
It's been a while. I was listening to you when you're back on WWCR. And it's funny that your guest mentioned Waco, because that's pretty much the same time I started listening to you on the air and got your book initially.
Uh-huh.
And I went through pretty much the same process. I didn't initially think a whole lot of it, and actually I remember feeling bad for what Janet Reno had to do afterwards and talk about it and whatnot, because I pretty much believed, you know, what they were saying, and it was for you know, shows like yours and the book and. I guess Linda Thompson and her tapes, you know, that was pretty much the first exposure to the other Waco stuff. You know, I was probably predisposed to believing that there was more to, you know, the media and the government and whatnot than, you know, you get on a daily basis from, you know, newspapers and whatnot. So it was easy enough for me to believe, even though up to that point I didn't really care because, again, you know, I was working and making money. You know, and paying my taxes. And so, you know, it didn't really concern me, although I did have questions, I just didn't really have any answers. So it's funny to hear you say that because I'm pretty much in it from the same time frame.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, from there I've pretty much learned a lot about, you know, the property tax issues and licensing issues and certainly all about the IRS. And one of the questions I'd like to ask is, just recently I started reading another book, and I keep forgetting about the overseas military involvement, like the Chinese Army and the Russian Army, as it relates to, like, disarmament treaties that we signed, I guess, the UN plan from Kennedy. Is there, do you have any more numbers? Do you have any updates as to, the UN troops that are in the country and, possible staging grounds? I mean, is this stuff, still going on as far as,
You're asking a question that in the time frame left that we have, we couldn't even begin to address it. So what you need to do is save that question and call back on another night when we're talking specifically about those things.
Okay, good enough.
There are thousands of foreign troops here, all perfectly legitimate, and probably the scariest thing that I've seen, Militia Montana has a tape out with General Shelton on it, addressing the multinational troops. And he's saying, you, talking to these multinational troops, you are the forefront of the new world order.
Yes.
What you're going to have, eventually, is simply a few American troops mingled in with hundreds of others of Chinese Russian troops. They're called peacekeeping forces. Oops. Well, we had a call there, but we didn't get to you quick enough.
Check it out.
There you go. That's it. Come on back.
You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. All right.
I just wanted to say, hey, Bill, thank you very much for the hard work you're doing. I look at your site every day, the Harvest Trust Store.
Thank you.
And I have to tell you, some people say hindsight 2020, but I knew long before Waco that we were in big trouble.
I need you to talk a lot louder. We can hear you, but I can guarantee you the listening audience is having a hard time.
No problem.
That's better.
Okay. Before Waco, I knew what was going on. I had opportunity to be in some places at some different times and see some different things, but Waco summed it up. I took an opportunity to listen to your 911 tapes today off the site. They murdered those people.
Yes, they did.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yep. That was just.
I tried to warn the world, and they burned the radio station down to shut me up.
It's just terrible. I mean, they murdered those people. There's no two ways about it. Anybody should listen to that. Absolutely. And I'd like to thank you for the hard work you've done on the food guide and the rifle guide. That rifle information was very informative and very helpful.
Great.
And
you're going to need that in the future.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. I'd just like to say, I don't want to take any limelight away from you or anything like that. I don't think you're doing it for that reason anyway.
No, not at all. In fact, if it wasn't for what's happening in this country, I wouldn't be on radio. I would be doing what I love the most, but working with my family in some kind of a photography profession, because that's what I would really rather be doing than anything else that there is.
And I would probably be still taking pictures of naked women for a biker magazine. and making a lot more money than I make right now.
But go ahead. You were in the process of saying something. And
it's okay. Folks, if there's anything, if you don't believe it, I suggest that you open your eyes and you start talking to people, because the people around you, they think it's a joke. They think it's not happening. And just because they don't think it's happening doesn't mean that you shouldn't be preparing. Because it is the strong and the prepared that will survive, and the rest will die or be slaves. I mean, we're already slaves. That's just unbelievable. And you really need to go out there and prove Bill wrong. If you think that it's all bull, go prove it wrong, and then call me and let me know. I would love nothing better to think, to find out that this is all just a bad, bad dream, but it's not. It's the actual reality.
All anybody has to do to wake up is just do one thing. Ask yourself why you're paying income tax.
I cannot prove that. I wanted that $10,000, but I can't prove it.
Did you try to look in the law and prove it wrong?
Yes, I am, actually, right now.
And can you do it?
Actually, you don't have to pay it.
That's exactly right. You don't. That's when you get into the law and you find out the truth, then you want to kick yourself around the block because you've been paying 30% of your income as tribute to your real masters as a slave for all of your life that you've been filing and paying income tax.
That's right. I pay $800 a month in income tax, and I'd like to hang myself just for that.
Makes you angry, doesn't it?
Oh, unbelievably.
Yeah, I told them to go, and that's exactly where they better stay, because I am really pissed. If they come up this hill, there's going to be a battle like you never saw before in your whole life.
I am angry!
Here You better be careful. You might have start having some more company out there. The tents will be popping up.
Good.
Bill, thanks again.
You're welcome.
Boy, you're doing a great job.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thank you.
520-333-4578. That's the call-in number.
Well, all I can tell you folks is that I'm here too. So, and you know, I sell a lot of books on the income tax and the lack of an income tax. Hello, caller.
You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Bill.
Hello.
I remember when I first started listening to Shorthoid Radio maybe two and a half years ago. I would hear various things. One of the things I came across a lot was about prisoner of war camps all across the country. You know, and you hear it. You know, maybe it's true, maybe it's not. At the time, I was in New Jersey, and I was...
Can you please talk louder? I don't know why I have to keep saying this. Please talk a lot louder.
Okay, well, I had heard, listening to shortwave radio originally, about a lot of prisoner of war camps. And you can't verify these things, but...
Certainly you can.
Well, that's my point. I was told about one in Fort Dix, New Jersey. And I was about 90 minutes away at the time. So I rode up there, and indeed I found that to be true. And basically, three tiers of the circular razor wire with the guard towers, I don't remember, maybe 12 or 16 all around it. I don't think it was actually to hold people because there were two huge prisons within 2 miles of it. But Fort Dix, New Jersey had been decommissioned. It had been given to the United Nations by George Bush while he was still in office. And I believe it was basically training them to build these things because I could not find any rust on the razor wire or the nails. And I think they probably set them up and tear them down and then build them again. And they trained people they trained the foreign troops how to corral people or whatever. And it's only what I've been to, but... I've heard about dozens and dozens all across the nation.
They are. They're all across the country.
Yeah, and the one place that I went to confirm it, you know, I saw it. I took pictures of it. I was there with my wife and child, and I saw it with my own eyes.
Well, they're certainly there. Yeah. And there's a number of reasons for them to be there. Back in, I think, about 94, they had a law that they were trying to pass, where they were going to round up all the drug users and put them in these concentration camps.
And all the illegal aliens.
And then it was the illegal aliens. And then we found a whole pallet load of signs in a warehouse in Houston. And the signs had been printed right after Clinton had been elected. It was in two languages. And it said, danger. Peligro. No trespassing. AIDS.
Yep.
AIDS. And they had it in big letters. AIDS camp. It was for AIDS camps. All they would have done is hang these AIDS sign on and rounded up all of the people with AIDS.
Well, that's exactly what they do in Cuba.
Are all of the people that they said had AIDS. Exactly. You know, and it may be tomorrow, it may be the Patriots. Tomorrow, it may be the domestic terrorists. It's whatever they can do to criminalize Americans, whatever they can do to create lawbreakers where there was none before. You know, a lot of the Christians turned their backs when they started kicking down doors to get all those nasty old pot smokers. You know, suddenly they have a little different attitude when they're going to kick down the doors to get their guns. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing.
Well, I worked in a place in Jersey City, New Jersey, for 15 years, and about one-third of my coworkers were Puerto Rican. And when I found out they had declared martial law in Puerto Rico and that they had troops on the street, I asked them what they thought about it, and, you know, to my chagrin, they were all pleased by it. They said, well, you know, the drugs are out of control and they're, you know, trying to stand out. And they were not at all disturbed by it, and it just drove me crazy.
Well, you're talking about people all over the country, all over the world, that use the same methods, the same techniques on them.
Well, it's the same thing where in various parts of the country, these teams would come in and kick down the doors in projects, and it's like the masses, so to speak, you know, just general people
had a rehearsal here, right here in the Round Valley. This year, the Rainbow People announced that they were going to have their annual encampment where, you know, anywhere between 15,000 and 45,000 Rainbow People attend these things. And they had chosen a portion of the forest just about a 20-minute drive from here, if that much, maybe just 15 minutes. Not very far from our studio right here in the Round Valley in Arizona. And this is a rural community made up of loggers and lumber mill workers and ranchers and small businessmen. And when I say small businessmen, I mean real small businessmen and retirees that's about it. I mean, there are some people who work for the Forest Service and some have some government, state and federal government jobs. They began to circulate rumors through this valley that the Rainbow People were going to come here and destroy the forest and destroy the city and rape all the girls and addict all the children to drugs and all of this kind of stuff. And we watched this happen. I couldn't believe it. And most of the community belonged to the Mormon Church. In the 1800s, the Mormon Church, the people who belonged to the Mormon Church, were discriminated against and fired upon, and at one point felt so terribly set upon that they actually went to war with the United States. And you would have thought that they would have learned their lesson, because in the 1800s, the Mormon Church were the Rainbow People. And that's the way they were treated. Well, the Rainbow People came to this valley, and I saw Hitler rise from the dead, and I saw the Nazi stormtroopers set to work. This state brought federal law enforcement and federal forest people from all over the country to this little bitty valley, and they brought in state law enforcement people from other states, as well as the state of Arizona and other cities in the state of Arizona, and this whole valley became a police state. And anybody who even looked like they might belong to this Rainbow People encampment were stopped, their cars were searched, they were detained, their door panels were taken off, they were harassed, they were jailed, they were absolutely despicably set upon by this huge law enforcement machine, which had no business being here in the first place, and by otherwise very good, honest, intelligent, wonderful people that I have lived amongst for quite some time. And I saw how this works, and I saw how people accepted it and went along with it and even became a part of it, and it made me sick. It made me physically ill, to the point where I literally had to go to bed.
Well, I can't remember the name of the town, but I think within the last 2 weeks, there was some town in the United States where they did one of these army operations where the helicopters come in and the troops deploy and take over the town.
They've been doing that in many cities all across the country.
Yeah,
You'll never see it on the Dan Rather Not or the Ted Copulate or any of those people's news, or on the Communist News Network. These stories only appeared in the local papers, and people sent us these clippings from the headlines all around the country.
Well, I'm so proud of Philadelphia, because it was supposed to be a three-day project when it happened a couple of years ago there, and the people just went crazy about it, and they cut it short after 24 hours.
Yeah, after the first night, the people rose up and said, get out of our town and don't you ever come back, and they didn't.
I was listening to the news when President Clinton was traveling, and about a week ago, he was in that same town. And I just thought it was so amazing, where, like, they sent these troops in, they convinced the children in the town to act as basically information pushers.
Informants, yeah, just like Hitler's brown shirts.
And
they're teaching children to do that today in our schools, to rat on their parents. And the children have to sit down and fill out questionnaires about their home life and their parents and whether or not their parents take drugs and whether they work and all of these things. It is absolutely despicable. And the American people are turning their face away from it and pretending like it's not happening.
One of the things that they do in schools today is they encourage the children to keep a journal, and they assure them that it is completely private. you know, just...
And
Hitler Youth.
In the morning, you know, it's like open up your journal and just put down your most private thoughts, and this is just for your benefit. Nobody will ever see this. Yeah.
That's what they told Clinton about the videotape.
Yeah, well, they did this to my own daughter, and I advised her to do things where she could find out if somebody had looked in the book or not, just to show that they were liars. But you know, you're absolutely right. They're doing this all over the country, and it is absolutely despicable.
With the exception of a few communities where the people have gotten together and put the pressure on the mayor and the sheriff and the police chief, and they have denied them the right to come in and disrupt those communities.
Yeah, and they also threw the National Education Association teachers out of their schools.
Well, God bless them.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll let you go on to other callers. And, once again, I know you've always been around somewhere, but I only hear on shortwave, and it's great to hear you again.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you for calling. Number 520-333-4578, if you'd like to call in. Guest, Clayton Douglas, if you'd like to ask any questions. He's on the spot.
Or make any comments.
Yeah, make any comments.
We'll make comments, questions.
Talk about anything.
You know, this, wasn't that in North Carolina that they were having those exercises? The other thing, Bill, you know, people keep saying, well, Clinton could, if Clinton declared a national emergency, and if Clinton declared a martial law, we already are under martial law, in my opinion. If you look at what happened in Four Corners, if you look into what happened in North Carolina with Eric Rudolph, you know, in the Four Corners area, we have what we assume is a cop killer out there, as somebody that shot a police officer. And yet we have armed soldiers in camo uniforms with automatic weapons pointed at women and children in stopping vehicles. We have black suited masked men with no badges.
Those aren't men. Those are teenage ninja puke-faced turtles.
Pointing guns.
Forget it.
Pointing guns at a group of college students rafting down a river, forcing them to come over without identifying themselves. What is that if that's not martial law?
Yeah.
You're on the air.
Hey, William Cooper, how you doing?
Good.
I bet you don't know who I am, do you?
Who are you?
Huh?
Who are you?
Mr. Henry.
Mr. Henry.
Yeah.
Henry Noble. I know you.
Yeah, I was...
Well, welcome, my brother.
Yeah, I've been wondering about you. Finally got you back on air again.
Well, you sure do, and I'm here.
I just wanted to say keep up the good work.
Well, thank you, sir.
Okay, so take care.
And it's good to hear from you again.
Yeah, like you see, I'll probably be seeing you one of these days.
Well, I hope so.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Henry Noble is a black gentleman who has been helping us out and has been a member of our organization, the Intelligence Service and CAGI, for many years. He's a real American, and I love him. So that's who that was.
I'd love to see more and more black people in this movement.
Well,
walking hand in hand with us.
We're getting there. Anthony Hilder and I, and several other people, Africa Israel, who produces a lot of the big rap groups in Hollywood and Los Angeles, set up donated funds and helped set up centers in South Central L.A. for blacks to come and get together and learn what's really happening and how they're being used and manipulated with the euphemistic slavery of drug addiction and a lot of other things. And they are now, you know, if you don't listen to black rap, I think you should start, because they're now taking the real message and putting it into rap, into the ghettos, to teach their people the truth about what's really happening. You're on the air.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Is Clay Douglas there?
I'm right here.
Hey, Clay, I've heard you on TexMars quite a few times. I really appreciate what you've done and the work your magazine's done.
Well, thank you.
Bill, I wanted to tell everybody I could, if I might, that tonight Stan Dea will be on Art Bell. And Stan's a real good friend of mine, and what he's going to do is going to be kind of shocking to a lot of people unless they're very aware of what the Bible says the plan is, according to the workings of the Antichrist. And so only if you have that knowledge will you understand exactly what will be spoken of there on the show tonight. It's going to be over the heads of so many people. But, you know, we've got to warn them of the reality that's coming, of what, you know, what is clearly marked out in the Bible. Bill Clinton once told Jennifer Flowers, we all got to go on record saying the same thing in a tape she made of him. And that's pretty much what we have to do. And, Bill, you've been a great part of that. You know, you've got a lot of people looking into this UFO matter and you know, the New World Order and how it all benefits them. And Standale is working on that end as well. And so tonight, if everyone would listen to the second hour of Art Bell on, probably for a four-hour interview, they may learn a lot. And that's rare for Art Bell show.
You can say that again. I have known Standale for many years. I don't agree with everything that he says, but I will tell you this: he's a good warrior in this fight.
Amen.
And I look forward to hearing what he has to say tonight.
Well, what he's going to have to say, me and him have been discussing it over the years since '95, and I was telling him then because that's what we had in common. And he's pretty much accepted, you know, Mystery Babylon as the United States, and you know, he's on track now with a lot of the cutting edge, like Chuck Missler's work, Hal Lindsey's work, a lot of the stuff that you've been saying about the. I'll tell you some interesting things. I was going to do an interview with Stan and post it on my website, but it's just too small, and it wouldn't have done him much good, so I didn't want to waste his time. But I asked him a few questions, and these were potent. I said, did you ever hear the word alien technology, the phrase alien technology, when you were in the program, you know, the aeronautics program, the secret aeronautics program in Australia? He said that never came up, never. Everything we saw was human research and development. We never heard the word alien technology about any propulsion system, part, hovering craft, anything like that.
Uh-huh.
And then I said, now looking back, do you think that you were actually, the men you were hired by, the men you were actually employed by, were they or were they not working for the Illuminati? He said, yes, they were. He said, yeah, technically I worked for the Illuminati. So, you know, he's a warrior in this fight, but he's also an insider. You know, that's basically his claim to fame early on. He was an insider, and for that reason, he's more valid than anybody else. Many other so-called experts in the UFO circles,
mm-hmm.
if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, thanks a lot, gentlemen. Keep up the good work, Bill. You're a warrior, too.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Thanks for calling.
God bless.
All right. Okay, what, we got about 8 more minutes?
Yeah, very beautiful.
Yeah.
Not actually, about 5 or 6 more minutes. Now, you can stay here, Doyle. I just have to be over here to do this music when we go bopping on out of here. 520-333-4578 is the number. And by the way, I have to find out what music we're going to do. I think we're going to do this music. Okay. Got the phone is ringing. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, this is David.
Hi, David.
Wondering, how do you guys feel about that, about the Y2K problem?
I don't.
Y'all really care too much about it?
I think the Y2K, so-called Y2K problem, is a myth. I think it's created to cause panic as we get closer and closer to the millennium. And I think the only thing we have to worry about the Y2K problem is the panic that all of this hysteria is going to create. If you really believe that all of these businessmen who have millions and millions of dollars invested in business and companies and computers and products and everything else are going to let it all disappear overnight because they didn't want to pay attention to a little date problem in their computer, then you're just not playing with a full deck of cards, my friend.
Oh, yeah. see where we are now. By the time the year 2000 gets here, we're going to already have a cure for the Y2K problem.
The cure has always been here. In fact, if you've got a computer and you want the cure and you're using Microsoft, just go to their website, download this little thing, run the program, and your Y2K problem is cured in about 2 seconds, less than that, as a matter of fact.
The Y2K was, they knew about the problem as far back as 1965.
Mm-hmm.
They wrote, a book came out about it in 1984. The National Security Agency has been Y2K compliant for 20 some odd years. But they want the panic. There may be systems that go down.
There may be.
There may be a disruption in your power, but then again, That happens when hurricane comes through. That happens when tornadoes come through. That happens when there's floods. It certainly doesn't hurt us to be prepared for anything, because if you're prepared, then there's no such thing as an emergency.
Now, there is no such thing.
But you have to understand that you should be prepared anyway.
Anyway.
Yeah. Whether there's a Y2K problem, or you're expecting a flood, or you think the sky's going to fall in, responsible people make preparations to protect their families in any event.
Yeah, you just got to get ready ahead of time, so if it does happen, you know you're ready.
So why wasn't everybody ready for whatever's going to happen a long time ago? Why are they now getting all upset about it?
These people just don't listen.
What's that?
I think it's a lot worse than that. I think we got something to worry about that's much worse than Y2K. It's called absence of material between years.
What is it? What's the old thing? Proper planning prevents fit for performance? Something like that?
See, you have to understand that socialism sucks. And if you're too close to it, it has a tendency to suck your brain cells right out through your ear, and then you become stupid.
Yeah, a lot of these people, they listen to it, but then they blow it off like, it's not a problem, I don't need to worry about it.
Well, it doesn't matter whether they believe that's a problem or not. All prudent, responsible people should have food stored, water stored, medical supplies, and all the things that they might need no matter what happens. And if you don't believe that, ask some of the people who were caught off guard in the earthquake in the San Fernando Valley, in the hurricane in Florida, in the floods in the Midwest. Ask somebody who's ever had their home burned to the ground.
How do you guys feel about the nuclear power plants getting shut down? Do you think that would affect the economy in any way?
Won't bother me a bit.
It don't bother me at all?
Well, I don't know if it's going to bother you. I'm telling you, it won't bother me a bit. We have food, water, power, medical supplies, guns, ammunition. We have our source of spiritual enrichment. And it doesn't matter what happens anywhere. It will not affect us whatsoever. The only thing that will affect us is if somebody tries to come up here and take what we have, then we'll just have to affect them.
And if they try to take what we have, we need to get together and fight them.
That's what the militia is for, to protect
the... If this town does not get together and protect what we have from the government,
our
own little...
Whoa.
We have our own little perspectives on it, and it's going to all fall apart. We won't be able to save what we have.
That's what the militia is for, to protect the political and social infrastructure of your community.
And actually, you know, if you live in a city, you already have a vehicle there that you can use. It's called Neighborhood Watch.
Yes.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yes.
So get with your neighbors. You know, this might be a real good year to get to know who your neighbors are and approach them under the heading of Neighborhood Watch with the blessings of your police force. You know, The one thing that we're missing right now that we had in the 60s,
brains,
civil defense.
Yes.
We got to go. Sorry to cut you off, but we're out of time. And I want to thank all of you who called. Clayton, I want to thank you for being a guest on the broadcast. And we're not going to take your money for that knife. I've got it right here. That's yours. And Doyle, you want to come in? Good night, folks.
Good night.
Good night.
And God bless each and every single one of you. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow night.
I'm
You've been listening to the worldwide broadcast of the Hour of the Gun. I'm William Cooper, the man William Jefferson Clinton named as the most dangerous radio host in America. And Rush Limbaugh read it on the air. Greatest compliment I've ever had. And now, if you've been listening, you know why.
Reminds me of you. Yes, dear. They are saying our song. And they will always remain our song. Each time you hear this, I hope you too will cherish the wonderful memory. For these songs are just a symbol of the love that I have for you.
You're listening to 101.1 FM Eager, your nonprofit community service radio station.
On night guard, I